is Dave, you got that cut up there just ready? Because I'm going to use it just here in a second. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us concerning our lives when the winds of change come upon us and we're out there and we don't really know what direction we should go. And I ask that you would bless these words and that you would equip them to be a word for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. The last year and a half been somewhat chaotic for me, and I rarely take 3 weeks vacation in the summer, but I did this year. And the reason I did is I needed to get quiet for a little bit. If you would join with me and read the first scripture, which is right on the front of your bulletin, it's Psalm 46:10. Here we go. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Anyway, one of the things that I decided to do with my life is I just needed to get quiet so I could listen to what God had to say. Back in 2001 or whenever it was, there was a movie, The Lord of the Rings. How many of you have seen that? Well, in the first one, The Fellowship of the Ring, Gandalf is leading them under the mountain. I think it's Mount Moray or something like that. I'm not sure what the name of it was. But he gets to a place where he's kind of in the dark as to which way to go. And I've got a little cut. This intrigued me so much when I first saw it. And he sits there on that rock, and there's three little tunnels, and he doesn't know which way to go. And finally, he figures it out, but he gets quiet, and the whole group of them has to sit there. And that has always intrigued me, and it kind of brings us to what is the message for today. I want to raise your consciousness to the life around you. Change comes and happens to us, and the winds of change can be blowing on us in terms of our lives. And when the winds of change blow, it usually means that things are coming to a head. It means a lot of times endings and beginnings, and when change comes, our very identity is questioned, and our purpose in life is questioned, and everything seems to be up for grabs. And it's during those moments, those times in our lives, when we say things like this. You know, I'm really in the dark about what all this is going on or it means. In fact, I'm in the dark about a lot of the things in my own life. I don't know what's going on. I'm just in the dark. Well, today I want to show you a picture that comes out of the Old Testament about a man who was in the dark, you might say, about his life. His name is Abraham, and he is called the father of our faith, and his story is in Genesis chapters 12 to 22, but in the middle of that story, he comes to a place where he's in the dark, literally, about his life and whether any of the promises that God has for him are going to happen or not. And the life of Abraham is a picture for us of how God works in people, in you and me. Before we look at Abraham, though, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? The question that we all need to ask. Now, I believe he does. He wants you to be fulfilled as a human being. He wants you to be all that you can possibly be. He wants you to walk with him in relationship. He wants you to grow and to cause us to grow. And sometimes he brings us to points of change when we are in the dark about our future. And I think that what the Lord does is he wants to bring us to a deeper understanding of himself if we are open to it. And the Lord continues to cause us to grow if we're open to him. He wants us to grow with deeper roots in which he has a settled foundation in terms of revelation for our lives. And change is inevitable. You quote me for this one. Change is inevitable. But growth is always optional. And growth we learn about from nature. If you look at a tree, it grows in two directions. It grows up and it grows down. If it grows in just one of those directions, you either don't get any fruit or a good stiff wind will blow it over. And actually, that's kind of a picture of us as well. If we have no roots, we can be blown wherever by the wind. If we have no limbs, we bear no fruit. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham is a picture. We see a man who is at the point of change in his life, and it's at this point of change that God deepens his roots and how God's working. And for anyone who wants to live a life in God's will, whether it's an individual or happens to be a collective group like us as a church who wants to follow God's will, we come to a point where only, and you got to listen to this, we're only a new expression, manifestation, and testimony of the Lord will answer to your need for understanding his way in your life. You don't live on past revelation. You cannot forever grow on the strength of what has been earlier evidence of the Lord's working in your life. Every time he leads you to a deeper development, a deeper step in growth, you're going to find there's a corresponding challenge in terms of faith. And when that time comes upon you, it usually is kind of like darkness, where you can't see how things will work out or how things will turn out. And the difficulty of the darkness will drive you to a place of discovering more of his way if you are God's man or woman. Now, we all come to points in our lives where we have to admit, you know, I really am in the dark about my life. I don't know where I am, I don't know where I'm going, and how it's all going to work out. Know this truth. The only way that God can bring you to a readiness to receive the next thing he is going to teach you is by bringing you to a place where you understand that you don't know. There is something else that needs to be made clear to you. You need to understand something new. And it happens when we're in the dark about things concerning our lives. And that's where we find Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis. He's at the point in his life where he can't figure out how the promises of God could possibly take place. He is in the dark about his life. Now, I have chapter 15, verses 1 to 8 printed in your bulletin. And you're going to notice something in this as we read it. And I want to read the whole thing. I have two questions that are in bold letters. So here we go. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, thou hast given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir, your son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Lord, look towards heaven and number the stars. And if you are able to number them, then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Now, as you read this, I want you to look at those two basic questions that Abraham asks. He says, first is, what will you give me, and how will I know? That's the second question. Two questions. What will you give me, and how will I know? Those two questions that God's people have asked for thousands of years, two questions that probably every one of us here has asked at one time or another, or if we haven't asked them yet, we will. We ask these questions of people a lot of times. We ask these questions at times of change. What will you give me if I take this job? What will you give me if I join this church? What will you give me if I risk myself for you? What will you give me? The second question is, how will I know? If I take a chance and I move to this new house or this new community, how will I know it's right? If I marry this girl or guy, or how will I know it will work out? If we move and go to a different church, how will I know that I'm doing the right thing? 10 years ago, we moved over here to this church, you know, and how will we know we could pay for it or fill it or maintain it or need it? How will we know? Two questions. What will you give me? And how will I know? We ask them of people. Sometimes we ask them of God. And just like Abraham, we ask God about the important directions and changes in our lives. And Abraham is a man who wants to follow the way that God wants him to go in terms of his life. Now, the question is, are you a man or a woman who wants to be and do what God wants you to be and to do? Are you a person who wants to be in God's will or not? Are we a church which desires to serve the Lord God? Make sure that we are in His will. You know, if you're a person who follows the Lord Jesus, or we're a church that does that, then Abraham right here is a good picture for us. He asked those two questions. What will you give me? How will I know? Now, Abraham, if you read his story, was a man who was already submitted to God in terms of his life, but he asked these questions from a stance of a submitted heart. He is already in a relationship with God. Now, submitting yourself to God doesn't teach you everything. It just makes you available to be taught. It makes you humble enough so that God can actually talk to you and teach you. If you're full of pride and think that you've got it all figured out and nailed down, God really has nothing to say to you. You can't be taught. But Abraham was available for new revelation. And let's not forget that he was a man, a human being, just like you and me. And if you look at this conversation, God says, I am your defender, I am your shield, I am your great reward, and I am your guarantee. And Abraham, whose heart was right, says, yeah, God, right. I hear you. But you know, promises, promises. Always promises. So what's in it for me? Now, that's the way I can read this thing. Take him out of stained glass. I know that Abraham and God had a good relationship, and Abraham was really in that relationship. But here's Abraham. He's experiencing the very human thing that all of us can experience at times. And the Lord makes these marvelous promises, but nothing is happening right now in his life. And it's so much that we aren't defiant about it, but, well, sometimes I'm from the show-me state, right? Missouri. And I expect if we're honest, we have approached God like that. Yeah, Lord, it's all right for you to say these things. You're up there in heaven, and you are our shield and our great reward. But look at me. I'm down here in the muck and mire of my life with nothing happening. How about it? Am I looking through your window at this point in time? I don't know about that. If we don't approach God like that, we might come like a kid with a little more trust and say, well, Lord, you promised so-and-so, and even I know you're talking to me. I can feel it. I've read the scriptures. I heard it in a sermon. I know it, but Lord, I just don't see anything happening. And it really puzzles me. Is there something wrong with me? Have I missed something? And we will vacillate someplace between two basic stances with God. Abraham is finding out that the promises aren't fulfilled in a minute. God wants to unlock some understanding in Abraham that has to do with long-range plans. And that message is also for us. The Lord takes longer than we think, and we need to learn God's timing in things. Think about our impatience in this life. Somehow, for many of us, if it takes more than 2 weeks for something to happen, it's an enormous test of faith. There are a lot of us who need to kind of go back and help Noah build the ark, which took 100 years to build. And some of us need to ponder how Noah felt slugging it along for a century on one boat. And about 50 years into the project, you might just get a little bit discouraged. God's not talking to Noah. You haven't heard from him since you were told to build the boat. Will it ever get completed? Waiting on the Lord is building the root system of your life. And Abraham asks, what will you give me? And then Abraham tries to figure out the answer. That's what we do too. Abraham said, is the answer this servant of mine, Eleazar? Is this your will, God, that I give all that I have to my steward? Abraham said, well, you haven't given me my own son, so there must be a spiritual answer to this whole thing. Is there something I don't understand here? Is there something I'm missing in the interpretation of all your promises, God? And imagine, if think about Abraham. What would you do? You know, we try to figure it out, don't we? Abraham is thinking to himself, hey, I passed 75 years old and there's no heir that God talked hasn't arrived. Things aren't getting any better at my age and must be a spiritual answer then. And one of the things that we do, we accept a spiritualization of the Lord's promises. And many times we miss his full intent for us. So what does God do here? If you read it, he takes Abraham outside and he says, Abraham, the way you see the problem is the problem. The way we see the problem a lot of the times is the problem. And here's Abraham. He's a perfect example of this truth. God takes him outside, and he from where he was in the house or wherever he was, and he says, look up, Abraham. And you're standing in a bad place in the house. Come outside and look up. You can't see too well from where you're standing. Come out here and look up. And Abraham looks up into the heavens, and we have a way of getting hung up in the way we see things in life. And this is really, we're unable to see from any other viewpoint. And Abraham has been trying to figure out how there was any future to the promises of God. And he just couldn't see any possibility. But God took him outside and changed his viewpoint. And for Abraham, the way he saw the problem was the problem. He was in the dark as far as the future was concerned. And so God changed his viewpoint. In the darkness, he showed him the stars and he says, you just try and count them, Abraham. Your descendants are going to be more than them. And friends, something clicked in Abraham at that point in time, and he changed his viewpoint, and something happened in his heart, and something clicked, and power was released at that moment. And God said, just like the stars, so shall your children be. And it says in verse 6 here, and he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. You may believe in God, but do you believe him? Read with me Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. What then shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, If you read the story, Abraham didn't do one religious thing here. He just believed. In verse 6, he says, he believed God. Now, I expect that everybody here may believe in God, but do you believe him? He didn't work it out. He just believed. Something happened there 4,000 years ago, and it must have been a powerful moment since it affects us even today. And something clicked in Abraham. And God's power was released in Abraham's faith. Read with me Romans 4:13 and verse 16. The promise to Abraham and his descendants that they should inherit the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all. Abraham believed God. Now, what about you? There's a word for each of us here, and it's a word from God. It goes something like this. In the midst of your life, when you are really in the dark and you can't see any real possibilities in the midst of your darkness, God says, basically, come outside and look up and see the stars of your promise. And by the way, those stars in the sky accent the darkness. You know when Abraham asked the questions, what will you give me? What did God do? He gave Abraham his word again. That's all. So God does two things for Abraham. He gives him his perspective, a new viewpoint on life, a new way of looking. And that's the first thing that he gave him. The second thing that he gave him was his word. When Abraham asked, "What will you give me?" all God gave was his word. He didn't change anything except showing Abraham a different viewpoint on his life. So let me tell you, when it comes to you and me, and you ask the question, what will you give me? He will always give you just his word and his viewpoint. He backs up his word, though, with himself. Why? Because God wants you to know him, to grow in him, to have your focus on him, to live in him. God wants your relationship to him be the focus, the strength, the center, the foundation of your life. And then you won't get so all fired up and bent out of shape and excited over the things that are going on around you. The Lord gives his word and himself. He told Abraham, he says, I am your shield, I am your defender, I am your exceedingly great reward. And when you're in the dark and you can't see what is happening and everything seems to be at a dead end, the best thing to do is to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I just don't understand. And he says, well, let me show you another viewpoint. Come over here and take a look at this way. Now, I know this, we're all in different places in our lives, and we don't know what is going on with the person who is sitting in front of us or behind us or next to us. There may be somebody here today, and you're walking in the dark, and there is something that you can't see working out the way you would like it to or as quickly as you want it to. If you will listen to the Lord, I really believe that He does it. This is his way. If you will listen to the Lord, he will draw you to himself and catch you up into himself, and you will have a certainty that God will not fail you. And Abraham believed God. And when he believed, it was sealed that moment. And the life force that needed to take place in him to give him life beginning capacity was released. God said, okay, I count your faith as your word in this agreement. And there was an agreement struck between God and Abraham at that point. Now, I figure all of us believe in God, but do you believe him? What will you give me and how will I know? God responded by giving Abraham his word and a different way of looking at the world and his life. It was not going to Eleazar, it was going to his child Isaac, who hadn't been born yet. What will you give me and how will I know? And do you believe in God? Probably. But do you believe him when he talks to you? Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help all of us to understand the truth about your relationship with us and what you want to give us in terms of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.